Welcome to How I Got Here with me, Drina Whitfield, the podcast where we dive deep into the inspiring journeys of remarkable women who have found their path to success. Today we are cozied up on the couch with the visionary force behind Nicole Bitchy and XO Nicole, and now the new wellness brand, My Happy Flow. The visionary, Nicole Kane. Join us for an episode you won't want to miss. Nicole, I'm so excited to have you. I know we've been trying for a while because you are a busy man, but I'm so excited to have you here with me today. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
So like I shared, one of the questions that I ask everyone that kind of stumps them, but I like to start it off to see if it like was part of your journey is, when you graduated high school, what did you write in your yearbook when it said Nicole will be XYZ in 10 years? What was that XYZ?
I think at the time I just thought I was going to be an actress or something in entertainment, just because that was what I was exposed to. Like my aunt had Essence magazines in her bathroom, you know, in a basket in the bathroom. So when you go to the toilet, you just look at Essence or Ebony. And so I was exposed to celebrities, and so I think I wanted to be a celebrity in some way.
Okay, and look, you're your own celebrity in your own right. Now let's talk about your journey of becoming a media mogul and a serial entrepreneur. I want to talk a little bit about Nicole Bitchy, because I remember it was like the first celebrity sort of like Black-focused celebrity website that I know I consumed. And so how did you come up with it? Like, how did you feel like seeing it grow from like inception to 20 million daily page views, which is crazy?
Crazy. I did eventually get into entertainment. I had moved to Detroit and I started working with a radio station. And when I was there, I was interning and helping to book celebrities to come in for interviews. And so that was my introduction to like entertainment news and celebrity stuff. And I thought I was just so passionate about it. And so I ended up moving to New York to try to find an opportunity there. And I interviewed for everybody's assistant, Diddy's assistant, Tyra Banks' assistant, like anybody that had an assistant job up there, I interviewed for. And I realized during that time that I know how to make myself look good on paper, but I do not know how to sell myself. I don't like know how to like really big myself up and really show people how amazing I am. And so I could get the interviews, I just couldn't nail the job. And so I ran out of money. And then I think the IRS had came, and this is a recurring theme in my life, IRS, okay?
Listen, every entrepreneur.
But the IRS had came and like swiped everything I had out of my bank account at the time because of like taxes due or something like that. And so I had no choice but to go to the Eastern Shore to stay with an aunt. And that's when I came up with my celebrity gossip site at the time. Like the only opportunities there in this small town was Walmart or like a pickle plant. And I just knew that I was beyond, I don't want to like make it so that anyone that works at Walmart but that I knew what the vision for my life was bigger than that. And so I got online and I started like blogging on MySpace, celebrity stuff. And during that time, like I started getting like a few little likes, but you couldn't tell me it wasn't like 2,000, 3,000.
I know that's right.
I was like, oh, I'm on my way. And one thing that I do, and I've done this throughout the course of my career, is I always write down, okay, I'm here now and I got 20 people reading this. Like, how do I get to 2 million people reading this? And I knew that was gonna come with consistency. Like, I would have to post every day and probably a certain amount of times every day for people to keep coming back and getting their news or gossip. And so I dedicated myself to that. Like, let's see what happens if I dedicate, you know, 6 good months to just consistency. That's how Nicole Bitchy was born.
So how did you go from like just launching it to a few likes and views to then like it growing to like the huge brand that it became? And how did you start getting like the tips, you know?
Yeah, well, it was a couple of things happened. Like it was a couple of things happened, but one monumental thing that happened was my aunt. She's like, I'm letting you stay here for free, but I'm looking every day and you're on this computer. Like, you're not applying for jobs. She didn't really get what I was doing or the vision. And I understand why, And so she told me I had 30 days and I would have to leave. And you can't tell me I got 30 days. I feel like I'm not belonged here, so I'm gonna go this weekend. So I packed all my stuff up, drove down to Atlanta, and I paid $500. And it's so crazy every time I tell the story because there's no publicist
that's gonna take $500 to take her.
Listen, child. If they do, be cautious.
I paid a publicist $500, and she was in the Atlanta scene. And so she took me out in the Atlanta scene, and she was introducing me to people. But what I did was I saw, she would take me to parties and they had celebrities there, but they also had photographers. So I asked the photographers, hey, can you send me the pictures? And I'll post your work and I'll post about the party. And so we had that agreement. And so I started being known as, you need to invite her because she's gonna post our stuff on her site and make it look like it's popping. And so that's how I kind of got my first big break in the Atlanta scene as a blogger. But my biggest break was they invited me to a listening party for Chili, and I didn't know they expected me to interview her. So afterwards they're like, oh, are you ready for the interview? And I'm like,
I'm not ready. Like, oh, wow. I don't have no questions. What do you mean?
And so I was like, okay, brave Nicole, brave, you can do this. And I sat down with Chili and I just had a conversation with her that like a girlfriend would have. And she started opening up about all this stuff she's never opened up about before, like the one that got away and who she still loves, and it went bananas. It went viral. And so that kind of put me on the map.
And so then what caused the rebrand to XO Nicole? Because if you were so successful with Nicole Bitchy.
Yeah. You know. So during the Nicole Bitchy days, like a lot of stuff was happening behind the scenes where, first of all, I was the elephant in the room. No matter where I went, I could feel the room shift. Like everyone in there knew I was in there, whether it was positive or negative. And I didn't like that feeling. Like I didn't grow up the popular person. And so I was like, I don't really like the way this feels. I would get death threats. I shared a office with my publicist and someone one time called as soon as I left out to go to an award show and said, tell Nicole she's dead and hung up. And I had just left the office. So, you know, just going through all those different things and not feeling at peace within myself and wanting to live my own life. Like I felt like I was living my life as a spectator to everybody else's. I was like, I gotta figure out how to get out of this. Cause this, it was taxing on my mental health. And so what was the question? That's the reason why I made the shift. Yeah. I was changing too. I was in my 20s when I had Nicole Bitchy, and you're crossing over into your 30s, you're starting to seek purpose. My parents died at the age of 41 and 42, and I'm like, okay, as I get closer to that age, do I want to spend my life doing this? If it was to be cut short. So it was just all these like profound questions that were going through my mind at the time.
And what was the meaning behind XO Nicole?
It was like a love letter to from me to Black women. Like I knew they deserved more than just gossip and celebrity news. And I feel like our culture had became very celebrity obsessed. And it's like, but why, like if I was in the airport and I'm looking at magazines and I'm not seeing anyone on the covers that look like me. And then I'm wondering where are young women that are Black going to talk about their mental health, their vaginas, what's going on down there, like intimacy, relationships. And I didn't see many platforms for that. And at the time, Essence was skewing very older, like 35 and up. And I'm like, well, where are the 18 to 34-year-olds going? And so that's where the idea for XO Nicole came about.
And so you've been featured in like a ton of media outlets, right? How do you feel like that has shaped your career and your entrepreneurial journey?
In terms of like different features, PR-wise? I use PR more so to tell my story. The first time I ever hired a publicist was in 2010, and everybody just knew about Nicole Bitchy, but they didn't know what she looked like. And so the first story that ran was in Ebony, and it talked about me losing my parents, sleeping on couches, and people were like, what? Like, you know, and so they got invested in the person that ran the brand, and I think that helped me, it humanized me. Mm-hmm. Because before then, bloggers were just like faceless behind the screen, and now there's this person, and I know her story. And so I think it creates connection. And so it tells the story in a way that advertisement can, and et cetera. So that's how PR, I feel, has fed into my career.
So with XO Nicole, that was your baby for a while, right? Mm-hmm. And so I know that Will Packard acquired it in 2017, right? Mm-hmm. How did that collaboration come about? Is it just from like your years being in the industry and networking?
I'm telling y'all, when you go through, when you ask God to use you, you can't choose how he uses you. And I say this, now I'm gonna tear up.
Let me get you some tissue.
Sorry.
It's okay. Let me get you some tissue.
I tear up on this part because like a year, maybe 6 months prior, January is when he contacted me. September, I had put out this video called What I Wish I Had Known Before Leaving a Successful Brand. I'm living in Arizona at the time. I'm not really thinking much about it, but I'm talking about some of the struggles I had in the beginning of the XO Nicole days. And just things I didn't know, just being all honest and transparent. And then I go to Vietnam for whatever reason, like a trip.
Okay.
And while I'm in Vietnam, this video goes viral. But the headlines was Nicole Vichie from Boston Broke. And I remember, and one of those headlines came from Essence, which is a magazine I grew up on. And sorry, that's how you know it really hurt me. That was like my worst fear, was to fail, to like transition, but to fail in front of the world. And I felt like the world was watching me fail. And it drove me in such a state of depression. And I just really didn't know what I was gonna do. Like, XO Nicole was there, but it was taking up all my money. I was overrunning it. I didn't know what I wanted to do with myself. And I'm like, wow, everyone saw me make this grand move to... My biggest thing was young women can't see me fail because they got to know it's okay to transition. That when they're no longer loving their life, they got to know it's okay. And it might not be smooth as you're going for that life you want to ultimately love, but I just couldn't let them see me fail. Like, that couldn't be the end of my story. And so Will saw that video, and I guess it was top of mind for him. And then in January, he reached out to me just like, hey, what are you doing? Well, I got all these emails. Will Packer is looking for you. He's trying to contact you. And he emailed me. And so I got on the phone with him, and he had an opportunity where he was creating a site similar to what I had, like, female, geared towards female audience, and he wanted someone to help come run it. And I'm like, well, shoot, I done already spent all my money trying to run this site. I'm not gonna mess up your money. Like, you might got the wrong
person.
That's
a whole nother type of pressure.
Exactly. I'm like, I got five people I can send you that might be good candidates for this, but I don't know if I'm the one. But every month, the same time every month, he kept calling me and said, hey, you know, what are you doing? Are you sure you're not interested in the position? So the fourth month, they must have saw that I had went to LA briefly and I was about to ride back to Arizona, and his assistant said, hey, Will saw you're in LA. He would love to meet up for you for dinner. And it's almost like I heard the voice from God, like, I just sent this man
Multiple times, for three, 4 months. Consistently
don't you mess up your blessing. And I was like, God, you ain't got to tell me twice. I had cleaned out a storage in LA, so I had a dress in the back. I stopped at a hotel. I threw that dress on, and I met him at that restaurant. I was early, like, what's the deal? What's the opportunity? Because the God was like, what you doing? Like, and even he had asked me, what was I doing at the time? I was studying holistic nutrition. And I was going to go into holistic health, which is funny because that's what I do now. But you get rerouted on your journey a few times. And so after that dinner, he turned to me and he said, what is meant to be will be. And, you know, think about it, pray on it. Then the conversation turned to them buying my website. And I was like,
what do you even say to that? Like, how do you?
I didn't even know what an acquisition was. I didn't even know much about investing at the time. So I didn't know what it meant. Like, what does this mean, you're going to buy my site? What does that mean for me? And so it was this whole thing, and it was this whole negotiation process that I almost walked away from. I remember, like, it was 3 or 4 months where I had sold everything, moved to New York, was living in a $600 room with all these other rotating roommates. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, if anybody knew Nicole Bitchy was living in this $600 Harlem apartment, what would they say?
But also, like, I just want to ask, like, even just being presented the offer to be acquired, right? How did that feel? Because you started, you got to think back, like, you started with Nicole Bitchy, transitioned into XO Nicole. Like, was this even part of, like, your dream when you even created the initial site?
No, just because the only person I had ever known that was Black, that was a woman who had sold something, was Lisa Price from Carol's Daughter, and it was just so much backlash about her selling out. So just the conversations around acquisitions weren't positive, so I didn't know what it meant. And it's crazy because Girls Trip came out that summer, and Queen Latifah had a storyline similar to mine. Mm-hmm. She was a gossip blogger who put and everybody like, what? So maybe, I don't know how long I was on his radar, but yeah, I was kind of scared, and I didn't have any friends to turn to for advice. I didn't have a mentor or a circle to talk to. No one had been on that level before. Mm-hmm. So it was very isolating. And so I remember the last conversation we had when I almost walked away from the opportunity. And I remember telling them, this cannot fail because young girls are watching me. And this is going to be big if I do this, but it has to be successful if I do this. And they were like, whatever she wants, like, you know, I went back to the lawyer and I gave them my, like, this is what's going to have to happen for me to say yes. And then he came back to me and said, it's yes to everything. And then the acquisition went through. And it was an isolating time because you have friends that are fellow entrepreneurs, but you suddenly don't feel like you have the same struggle as them anymore. They're looking at you like you don't have the same struggle. You have resources. What do you mean? You don't have the struggle we have. We're still bootstrapping. And so then I went through another period of isolation and entrepreneurship that people don't talk about, not having anyone to relate to.
Yeah. And so you talked about you walked away a few times during the negotiation process. Like, what was forcing you to walk away? Was it just the terms, like, weren't what you were hoping that, like, them to be?
I mean, when you're negotiating, look, this person, it's almost like you're about to get married to somebody you never dated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, married at first sight.
Married at first sight. I haven't even gone on a few dates with you. I don't know what this is going to be like. Are we in alignment? Are our futures in alignment? Do you want kids? Do I want kids?
Like, yeah.
You know, what kind of culture do you want this site to have? I know what my vision is, but is it the same as yours? And so that, and just little things like making sure that my future was set in case I did decide to have kids and a family, and those type of things, like what happens if it doesn't work? And in that first year I get fired, what does that look like? Because there's also in place, you normally have non-compete clauses, so I can't go and create another X on the call after I sell it. So what does that mean for me if I leave XO Nicole? Like, what's next for me?
Yeah.
So it's so many things. It's so scary. Yeah. So many things to think about.
Congratulations, though.
Thank
like,
you.
For real. And then, like you said, like, you never knew anyone that was even in this position or even, like, anything that related to acquisition, like, especially with Black women, had a negative, like, mm-hmm. you know, like, tone to it or story around it. And so as more Black businesses and Black female entrepreneurs, their companies are getting acquired or they're taking on investment or partners, what's, like, one tip of advice you could share based off of your own experiences?
Man, I feel like it's so many. I mean, definitely knowing if you like sell your business, but you're still gonna be on board, which most people at least stay around for 2 or 3 years. I stayed around for 5. That's the longest I've seen.
Wow.
A lot of people who they normally on for a year or two and then they go on and create another business, invest in other businesses. But I was there for 5 years, still running it, still in the thick of everything. But I don't think I quite knew what I needed team-wise to really build my business. I would have known to bring in, like, a proper, you know, chief operating officer, or like, what is it? Is it the chief marketing officer? Like, what do I need to really, and make sure that I bring them from organizations that are publications so that they could, because I was like guessing my way through both like careers. Yeah. And so to have someone that can teach me what I don't know, fill in the holes of what I didn't know, I think also just making sure they care about, like Will, I didn't doubt that at all. He serves Black women. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you have companies that come along and buy your brand, but they don't even care about the audience at all. Yeah. And so they have to just make sure the visions for your brand and what their vision is in alignment. For me, selling my business, like leaving X on the Cole was the hardest thing I ever did in my life. I had a lot of depression around it. I cried all 20, what were we in, 20? 23. Yeah, I cried all 2022. Mm. I did. And leading up to it, I knew my contract was ending in September and I wasn't going to renew it. And this was the second contract because my first one was 3 years, my second one was two. And I was just like, whew, this is a lot, because it's like birthing a baby, raising her for a little bit, but then handing her off to someone else to raise. And that was just a lot for me to process. And even now, like, I don't follow the brand on anything. And it's because I don't want the reminder. Like, I was like, let me heal. You know, even when I left, there wasn't a Zoom call with all the employees on it and me saying my goodbyes. It was just like, I don't even want to be on here crying. Let me just heal in the best way I know how. So, yeah.
I was gonna ask, like, you said you stayed on for 5 years. How did that feel? Like, did you still have full control, or did they start like to pull things like back?
And, once,
like,
they got a gist, I think once I, in December 2021, I remember being on a call with the COO and just telling him I wasn't happy. And it wasn't, I'm not happy with you guys. It's like, I'm not happy in my life. And I don't know if it's anything you could do to make me happy. They gave me as much freedom as they could. They supported me as much as they could, but I just wasn't happy in my life overall and with my life. And that was before I came up with the idea for My Happy Flow. After I, and that's when I knew I had to figure it out and fast.
Yeah.
So I came up with the idea for My Happy Flow March of 2021. I think once they saw me maneuvering with My Happy Flow and the brand growing, they got a sense that I probably wouldn't be there long, so they had to start teaming up and preparing for the transition. And so they did bring in an EIC eventually and other talent, you know. And things started shifting very quickly. Like, the voice started changing a bit, and I'm just like, what are we doing? And so it was just hard, you know, but I definitely run My Happy Flow differently. I'm not saying I'm not as attached, but I know for it to be in as many women's hands as I want it to be one day, I might have to take investments. And if you ever take investments, you're planning on doing an exit at some point. How do your investors make their money? Right. When you go through an acquisition or if you go public? So anyone, you know, we like to applaud and like cheer on when we see our fellow entrepreneurs and they've raised $5 million and $25 million, but just know they're gonna sell that business one day. Either that or they're gonna go public. And so I think there's a lack of information around how acquisitions work and investment dollars work.
So tell me about like why you started My Happy Flow. Like, what's the mission behind it?
So My Happy Flow is my baby right now. It's my newborn. I love her to death. But I started My Happy Flow for so many reasons. One, a lot of people don't know, like I held my mom's hand as she took her last breath. She died of breast cancer. I watched her plan her funeral. And at the time I just felt like I didn't have a lot of information on how to help her or heal her. And you know, when I started getting close to the age that she passed, of course I'm like, how do I prevent myself from getting breast cancer? And so that's how I got into holistic health. And finding out the correlation between having higher estrogen levels, which Black women tend to carry, and breast cancer tumors. And also, if you have high estrogen levels, you're at high risk for fibroids. Mm-hmm. And all these different reproductive complications that we have as Black women. And so, just through my studies of vitamins, I've studied hormone health, I knew what we needed and what our bodies needed to lower our risk for fibroids. And people be like, well, what does that have to do with periods? It's important for me to say that there's a lack of education around menstrual cycles. Your menstrual cycle is your fifth vital sign. So you know how you go to the doctor and they take your like heart rate, your blood pressure. What they normally ask, when was your last period? And it's because your period tells you a lot about what's going on with your health. It's actually your body's monthly report card. So if it's coming and it's painful, if it's like have bloating, heavy flows, it's irregular, or it's staying around too long, it's a sign of hormonal imbalances, but it's also a sign that you're probably at high risk for fibroids. Mm-hmm. You're at high risk for cancers. And since we were never taught that, we just went with periods, painful periods for most of our lives, or the doctor put us on birth control, which is dangerous, but I'm not gonna get into that because I have very controversial thoughts overall. And so for me, it was like, I'm in a friend circle. I got five friends. Why out of those five friends, I'm the only one that's never been diagnosed with fibroids? And out of those five friends, I'm the only one that has not been recommended a hysterectomy. Mm-hmm. I was like, the medical industry is failing us and they have to do better. And so I knew we deserved healthier options than birth control or number of surgeries. And so I created one. And I say this because we have so many customers that come to us. They were about to go in for a fibroid surgery. They started My Happy Flow. They go to the fibroid surgery 4 months later and the doctor can't find the fibroids. Or I've had instances where women had endometriosis, they had PCOS, they were told they may never get pregnant, and they got pregnant within like 3 or 4 months of being on a product. And so it's really a hormone balance supplement that we're parading as a period relief supplement, because when you balance your hormones, when your body is in balance, then your period is gonna come and you're not gonna have the symptoms anymore. So.
Can I just say, I just love this whole transition. Like, you are so informed and like, you know your stuff.
Thank you.
Because I'm like, there's a lot of things related to periods and hormones like that I'm, like you said, we're not taught or informed about. And so like, how did you even create the product? Like, what's the process behind creating the product?
The process behind creating a product, it was so many things, but I formulated, this product is for all people with periods, but I formulated it specifically with Black women with fibroids in mind. Normally when you have fibroids, you're vitamin D deficient. That puts you at high risk, so it has vitamin D in it. Normally you have anemia because of heavy flows. Because
that's me.
Right. And so it has iron in it. And not only iron, but we put a gentle form of iron in it that doesn't cause constipation. Normally, Black women are deficient in magnesium and other B6 and those type of things. And that's where you see your moods being kind of all over the place. And so I literally thought of the things we're normally deficient in. We have very busy lives. Some of us are mothers. Some of us are like bosses. We're skipping breakfast. I don't recommend skipping breakfast because it can lead to like insulin resistance and blood sugar imbalances, but most people do. They reach for coffee and it's just
not you talking to me though.
Yeah, but so just knowing the lifestyles of Black women and knowing that most supplements are not creating, most wellness and vitamin brands are not creating supplements with our lifestyle and the way we eat. And our diets in mind, you know, we love our seasoning. We love, you know, and so I was like, okay, a lot of these vitamins are missing key nutrients that we specifically need. I don't know a vitamin on the market that's like My Happy Flow. There's times when you might get an angry customer and they're like, I'm gonna take my business somewhere else for whatever. It might be USPS was delayed on their package, right? Nothing you can control,
We like to complain.
And they're mad, and you understand because they haven't had My Happy Flow for a few days, so the hormones are all over the place. And so, and in my mind, I'd be like, okay, find a better supplement that, you know, similar supplements to this one is gonna cost you $65, $70 and up because of the amount of vitamins and the potency. The potency is that the word of the ingredients. And so I know that I placed My Happy Flow at a price point that was still accessible to women of color. and I didn't want to like box them out because it's so expensive. So just knowing like the value, I seen two of the Hero Ingredients and Vitamin Shoppe sitting on a shelf next to each other, Dim and Endo 3-carbinol. And they, I looked at the prices and them two alone were more expensive than my Happy Flow, which has 7 additional vitamins and minerals in there. So I know it's such a great value. And you condense your vitamin routine. Now you only get to take 2 capsules versus I was taking at one point 15 different vitamins in the morning.
So what's the plan for my Happy Flow? Like what's the long-term goal?
I think when you're an entrepreneur, like you're grinding, you're hustling, you're taking all these courses, you got coaching, you're doing all these things to scale your business, but your relationship muscle becomes very underdeveloped. And so for me, I didn't really even know how to be in relationships with people because I knew how to be a great boss, but I didn't know how to be like a good girlfriend or a good et cetera. And so I've been slowly growing my business, but very slowly in a way that allows me to have a personal life and to focus on that area because I do want kids. I do want to be married. My dream for my Happy Flow is for me to one day be able to hire a CEO and to be in retail and to one day get investment dollars and to go global and, you know, to be in the Targets and the Whole Foods and the Amazons and that type of thing. We have a good subscription base right now, but I think next year is the year it's about to take off in the way that it should. But I'm glad I gave myself, I almost went into my Happy Flow trying to run it like a media company. Let me do all this content. Let me do all these events. And I saw myself about to be on a hamster wheel again of my life. And I was like, you have to grow this business in a way that you haven't done previous ones so that you can have peace, the type of peace and the type of balance you need. And I peeled it back. And I worked on the foundational stuff first, which was putting email flows in place and automations and that type of thing. And now I work like 2-3 hours a day, if that.
I just love this whole new trend, like the whole like evolution of your personal brand, but also just like your journey as an entrepreneur.
Thank you. I'm sure
like you've had tons of like valleys, but also amazing moments. And every moment and every like obstacle you face, every like bad piece of press that you've experienced, like is part of your journey to like bringing you here.
And
God had ordered your step each and every way.
And I will say, I want to just say the last 2 years, I mean, this year has been great to me, but the 2 years prior, just first me getting closer to the ages my parents were when they passed, but then I was going through all this friction at X on Nicole, which was telling me it was time for me to go. Like, you'll know when it's time for you to transition because everything feels like it's forced and resistance. Everything is resistance versus flow and ease. It's like, okay. And so I had this resistance at X on Nicole, but then I also had resistance in my Happy Flow at the same time because I had legal situations behind the scenes. You know, I had started my business with a friend or I had asked a friend to come along for the journey and it didn't work out in the way that I planned. And it was a lot going on with that. And I was like, it was just so much. And then having to get the trademark for the business, I was getting hit up by all these different companies that got Flow in the name. You know, and I was like, oh man, if I don't get this trademark, do I have to? So I almost renamed the business Love Your Period. And I did register the business and all that. But God is a mighty God and I got that trademark. And it was almost like impossible for me to get the trademark, but people got out of the way, honey. Like people wanting, responding to office actions and stuff on their side. So it dropped off. And I got cleared through.
Part of the plan.
Yes, part of the plan. So it was a lot of obstacles the first 2 years. But I knew God gave me this calling. And if he gives you the calling, he's going to move mountains for you to answer that call. So I knew like this was the path that I was supposed to be on.
I'm excited to see this next iteration of just your brand as a wellness entrepreneur, but also just to see what happens next with my Happy Flow.
Oh man, I'm so excited. I think it's gonna blow my mind. Like sometimes I wake up with the vision of, you know, us on Target shelves, our logo, I love our branding. We're continuously tweaking things along the way, but I really love the community. I love everything about running this brand.
Love it. So I'm gonna ask you some quick fire questions. So give me the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
What's the last series you binge watched?
You know what? The TV be watching me. Like, I never turn it on, but I mean, probably something like Harlem or, yeah.
What's one piece of advice you would give to your younger self?
I think at some point, there was a time where I moved every year and a half. And it was almost like there's this concept called destination addiction, where you feel like happiness is always in the next location, the next person, the next thing. And so it's almost like I was switching locations looking for happiness. But I was the same person each time. So I had to change something within myself to find that happiness and not look for it in all these different places and people and things. And so I think that's what I would tell myself when it comes to happiness. Like, you have to find it within and right where you are now. And then wherever you move and go, you can take it with you versus searching for it in all these different places.
What's one trend you hope never comes back?
I wanted to say, like, coochie cutters, but I had on a pair the other day, like, Holly, that's why they call these coochie cutters.
And what's your go-to self-care activity?
Honestly, anything in nature. You know, whether it's a walk, hiking, I like being in nature. I like soft music. I like candles. I'm obsessed with candles. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, Nicole, thank you so much for joining me today. I truly, truly appreciate you. Where can everyone follow you on social media, you and My Happy Bow?
They can find me at Hello Nicole, HelloNecole, and they can check out My Happy Flow at myhappyflow.co, and Flow is spelled F-L-O. And that's where we are across all social medias, My Happy Flow.